Well, maybe the Protestants are right. I don't know. We have so many Marian feasts and so much emphasis on Mary, the mother of Jesus, that maybe they're right, that we lose sight of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Well, those Protestants were not right. But we always need to make sure that we are crystal clear about the order of things in the Christian faith and Christian life. And today is a wonderful memorial for our understanding of the relationship between Mary and Jesus. So beginning with Jesus, especially from the letter to the Hebrews. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews provides us with three key insights into Jesus' identity and why he is the Master, the Lord, and the Savior. Those three insights are the prayer life of Jesus, the obedience of Jesus, and the perfection of Jesus. Prayer, obedience, perfection. First is his prayer life. I think that the biggest problem with my own prayer life, besides my lack of consistency and probably about a dozen other things, but the biggest problem is, I think, intensity. Jesus prayed, it says, with tears and loud cries and supplications. Our prayer really needs to take in more of ourselves, including our deepest sighs and our longings and emotions. Paul says the same thing in one of his letters. There's a famous interaction between the 4th century bishop, St. Ambrose, and Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. She prayed so intensely for her son for so many years. And whenever I think of her, I realize that I need to do that for my son as well. St. Ambrose, in other words, it shouldn't be just words. St. Ambrose said to Monica, "The son of so many tears will surely not be lost." In the same way, Jesus cries out from the depths of his human heart in such a way that we might not be lost. Second is the obedience of Jesus. It is strange to think of Christ, the perfect Son of God, having to learn anything, let alone obedience to the Father, with whom, in his divinity, he is already in perfect and loving community from all eternity. However, this is why it is so important that we understand the union of his humanity with his divinity. For his human nature to have any meaning for us, for the incarnation, which we celebrate especially at Christmas, but we need to keep in mind all the time, we have to see him go through the same process as any of us do to conform his will to the Father's. That is why it's so powerful to hear him say in the garden before his betrayal, "Not my will, but yours." And finally, the perfection of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews tells us that this perfection takes place through obedience to suffering. We know that suffering can make us bitter, and many times it does. But united to the suffering of Christ, it can also bring about perfection in our lives. So many of the saints tell us that this is the only path to holiness. I don't like to hear them say that, but they tell us, and they're the saints. If you don't have suffering in your life, you should ask for it. Now let us consider Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, whom we honor today. And when I was in grade 9, I just thought of this as I was, you know, kind of reflecting on this passage. I went into a classroom where there was a teacher who had, in the previous class, he had used every part of the blackboard, all the blackboards in the class to write on for whatever lesson he was teaching. And as the classes were changing and we were going in, he tossed the eraser brush to one of his students and he said with an authoritative voice, for some reason I can still hear so many years later, he said, "Erase the blackboards in totality." Well, I had never heard that word before, and certainly not with that kind of emphasis, but I could tell what it meant. It was an order to be perfect with the task. Don't miss anything. Seems like a silly example, but it comes back to me now. That word comes back to me as I reflect on Our Lady of Sorrows. She is the one who follows Jesus in totality, in the same three ways that Jesus does. Through her prayer life, everything she heard from Simeon's lips, she treasured in her heart. She was amazed by it. She allowed it to sink into her. She experienced and felt it at the deepest core of her being and her prayer life. Everything about we hear about her experience of watching her son be hated during his ministry, betrayed, scourged, and crucified, tells us that her prayer life came from the depth of her heart and her soul. That's what Simeon means, I believe, when he says that her heart would be pierced by a sword. Through Mary's obedience, secondly. Of course, we remember Mary's yes to the angel, "Let it be done to me according to your word." But Mary's journey of obedience had only just begun at that point. At no point along the way do we have the sense that Mary tried to talk Jesus out of the path that he would follow, that hard path. In fact, there is every reason to believe that she and Joseph are the ones who taught Jesus obedience by their own witness. Ultimately, as a mother, she is the one who experiences the totality of unity with all of the things that Jesus suffered. And thirdly, like her son, through her perfection. Mary's sorrows are referred to as her martyrdom because the suffering of the soul is even greater than that of the body. Jesus is the perfect image of the Father, and Mary is the perfect image of a disciple, made so through intense prayer, made so by obedience, made so by suffering, and leading to her perfection as the disciple. Jesus became the perfection of the Son of Man as his humanity conformed and shaped itself to the perfection of his divinity. Mary, through her perfect unity with the totality of the suffering of Jesus, became the perfect disciple. Now, this path would be impossible for us if we were walking on our own or if we were forging some new path. But it is only because Jesus has walked the path of perfect obedience, learned through suffering, that we can do the same. But even then, this path, I believe, would be almost impossible were it not for the model that Mary gives us. Mary is the first among disciples because she walks every step with Jesus, and she invites us to walk with her. Now, you know that Jesus has said that we are called to pick up our crosses and follow him as disciples. And I think you also know that we don't need to go looking for crosses, even though the saints say that we should ask for them. If we follow in Mary's footsteps, who follows intimately, closely in the footsteps of her son, the crosses will come, won't they? We can, of course, try to offload those crosses. We can numb ourselves. Our culture is outstanding at providing ways for us to avoid, ignore, or numb the pain that we might experience. But today, on this Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, let us resolve to allow Mary to lead us with totality into the deepest intensity of prayer that we can muster. Let us allow her to show us obedience to God in our own sorrows. And let us follow the way of perfection Mary shows us as a disciple, as the perfect disciple, the way to salvation. Yes, it may be a path of sorrow, but it is also the good news. In Christ, we are not alone. With Mary, we walk a sure path.